Good to see everyone this morning. It's a beautiful day, beautiful Lord's Day. I'd like to invite you to be with us in our Sunday school. Lesson that we had this morning was the 23rd Psalm, and our golden text is the first verse. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And truly it is. If the Lord is your shepherd, he provides. And you don't have to do a whole lot of thinking to realize that we tend to be like sheep ourselves. We have a real tendency to wander and stray. Well, isn't it good to know that we got a shepherd that loves us, knows all the good things for us, and directs us towards it, if we just allow it. All right, have we had any birthdays this past week? I think we're through with the March, and we got the April flowers getting ready to bloom. Another bunch, so Pastor, I'll turn it over to you.
Certainly glad to be together this morning on this beautiful day, the Lord's Day that He's made for us, and we can rejoice and be glad in it. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You that we can join together in this place this morning. Thank You, God, for giving us such a beautiful day. Thank You for Your faithfulness every day, Lord, regardless of the weather. And thank You, God, for the opportunity that we have together as Your sheep, those in Your flock, Lord, to focus our attention and our eyes upon our great and wonderful shepherd. So bless our time this morning. Pray that it would be useful in our hearts and lives to draw us closer to You, closer to one another in loving relationship, Lord, for all that You've given to us. We thank You, we praise You, and bless You now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Well, good morning once again, and happy PBJ Day. This is National Peanut Butter and Jelly Day, by the way, so I wanted to be sure and let you know about that. Now that you know, you can mark your calendars. It's good to have you out this morning. Good to have you that are visiting. Hope you can come back and be with us. We have a couple of programs in the back. Most of you may have already signed them, but if you haven't, sign them before you leave. One is for Jim and Marie Sitton, and one is for Henry Smith. Jim is in the hospital at the VA, if you haven't heard, of course, Marie's having some difficulties as well with her back, and so we're going to sign that and get that to them. And Henry Smith, that's Sandra's brother-in-law. He's had his knee surgery and doing well to this point, so we're praising the Lord for that. We'll send him a program as well. Also, on Monday, that's tomorrow, those that can come and help get the Easter eggs ready for the Easter celebration on Saturday, and that's April the 8th, this Saturday at 11 a.m., if you can help. And I think most of you have signed, some of you have signed up for refreshments and what have you back there, so thank you for your willingness to be a part of that as well. Also, for you ladies, you saw the little insert in your bulletins. There's a sign-up sheet in the back. You get to make a choice, and you've got till April the 23rd to decide whether you want homemade lasagna or blackened chicken pasta as your entree. So if you will, make that decision by the 23rd, and as I said, there's a sign-up sheet in the back. Also, thank all of you that came on Friday night for our first Bible school meeting, and we appreciate your willingness to be a part of that. Those that may not have got to come, we still need a couple of workers in the 2- and 3-year-old. Hazel, I think Ron signed you up for that, so we're looking for a couple more people. if you can come be a part of that, she knows you too well. All right, if you will, please stand and we'll have our chorus of praise. If you happen to need the words, they're on page 261 in your hymnal. Turn.
Jesus, good God in His wonderful face, and the
Take your bulletins, please, and let's read this call to worship, the scripture we have this morning from Exodus chapter 34 and Jeremiah chapter 9. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord.
And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth,
keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving transgression and sin, that they will by means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the children's children, unto the third and fourth generation. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Amen.
Turn in your hymnals to number 170. Number 170.
Psalm 86 is our scripture reading this morning. Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Among the gods there is none like unto thee. O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great and dost wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy ways, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart. and I will glorify thy name forevermore. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul, and have not set thee before them. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. O turn unto me, and have mercy upon me. Give my strength unto thy servant, and save the son of thine handmaid. Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it, and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, hast helped me and comforted me.
Thank you, Bruce. What a great prayer of David recorded for us in this psalm. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious and long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. Let's speak to that God as a congregation this morning. Father God, we recognize that you are a wonderful, gracious, kind Heavenly Father to us. You've made yourself known, Lord, throughout history. We can see your hand working with your people Israel in spite of all of their rebellion, in spite of their disobedience. Lord, that you certainly were a God of compassion and gracious and long-suffering, plenteous in mercy and truth. And you're the same God today that you were for them, and so we thank you that we worship you this morning. We come into your presence today, knowing the God that you have revealed to us yourself in your holy book, the Scriptures, the Bible. Lord, thank you for doing that. Thank you that we don't have to try to discover who you are, that we can know you, Lord, because we have your word and your truth. And we can know you, Lord, realizing that this pleases you and that you glory in the fact that we understand and know you, that you are the Lord. So bless this time together this morning as we worship you, Lord. May we worship you in spirit and in truth. God, forgive us of our sin. Forgive us of our lack of love for you, Lord. Strengthen us in our inner person that we might grow, Lord, to know you and love you even more. We thank you today, Lord, for our country, for our nation, for the freedoms we enjoy. But, Lord, at the same time, we realize that we're a desperate people, that we need your forgiveness and we need your guidance. We need your strength, Lord. We pray for those who are in authority over us. God, we ask that you would work in their hearts to bring them to fully bow before you and recognize that only by obeying you and following you, Lord, will this country be great again. So we pray for our president. We pray for our Vice President Pence and his wife. We pray especially as they're being criticized, Lord, because of their stand and their love for one another and the way they believe they ought to live. God, we pray you watch over them and help them to be a good witness and testimony. Pray for all the others in authority as well, that God, you would lead us as a nation. We need to repent, Lord. We need to turn from our sin, and we need to call upon you, so help us to do that. May that begin right here in our midst, Lord, within our homes and our church, that we recognize who you are. Bless our missionaries today, too, Lord. Protect them and strengthen them. Guide them as they seek to minister to you wherever they are. We pray that, Lord, there would be great success in their ministries for your glory and for your honor. We thank you for the Gideon ministry and pray you'd bless the Bibles as they go out around this world, Lord, that many will come to know Christ as they receive those New Testaments and Bibles. We pray for the ministry of the church in Stuttgart as they reach out to the Muslim community, that you would bless them and strengthen Pastor Kai Hirsch. Watch over him. And thank you for Howard's ministry and ask you to continue to bless him and use him at the Oaks and the Life Care Center. So, Lord, we thank you for the opportunities we have to serve you. We pray for those who are suffering today with physical needs. Lord, there are so many on our prayer list. We realize that name after name, Lord, comes before you. And so, God, we thank you that you're not overwhelmed. But, God, you know every person. You know each individual. You know what's happening in their lives. And so we pray that you would minister your grace and your blessing upon them. Pray for James and Peggy this morning, that they soon can return back to us. Pray for Naomi, that you would also bless her and strengthen her, Father, and as she is homebound right now. Pray for Marta, as she's out of the the Laurels now, and she's returned home. We pray you'll watch over her and bless her visit with the doctor tomorrow. Pray for Merle and June, especially Merle. He goes through his procedure this week. Lord, watch over him and give the doctor success as they treat him. And Lord, we pray for Marie and for Jim this morning too, especially that you'll be with Jim there in the hospital. And give those doctors the wisdom they need, Lord, to treat him and to help him with his infections. Pray for Marie as she waits her surgery. Lord, that you'll lessen the pain for her, and pray that that this surgery will be successful for her. Thank you that Jimmy's with us today. I ask you to continue to strengthen him and bless him. We thank you that that you're continuing to provide for all of the various ones, Lord, that have so many needs. We pray for Dennis today too, Lord, that you'd help him in his painful situation to heal him. And pray for Jim Bryan and his cancer. And for Guy Smith, Lord, as we look that you would bless him and guide him in his consultation there in April of this month. Pray for Marguerite, Lord, as she goes for her surgery this week. Give her peace, Lord. Give her success in this shoulder surgery and the recovery. We pray, Father, that you'll continue to be with Joan as she also will have shoulder surgery. Watch over her. Pray for Tommy Moore again, Lord, in his painful situation. Pray for those who are traveling. We miss Jim and Libby today, Lord, and Wes and the boys. Pray you watch over them. Pray for Howard and Barbara as they travel this week as well, myself as I travel. So, Lord, we thank you that we can commit all these things to you, knowing, Lord, that you're able and you're willing to do what is even above what we can ask or think. So we ask that you'll continue to guide us here as a church. Lord, give us wisdom how we minister in this community, that we might be effective in presenting Christ as we come through this part of the year, Lord, when we will focus on his death and his burial and the glorious resurrection. We thank you for the great message of that hope. So bless this day. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Brother Ron. Brother Gene, if you'll come, and Brother Phil, we'll take the morning off. Brother Gene, will you pray for us, please?
Lord, as we come to you this morning, we thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day that you gave us, Lord. We thank you for the rain this week that you gave us. And Lord, we just thank you for so much that you've blessed us with. And as this time comes, Lord, we want to give back. And we just want to glorify you, Lord. And we just thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Thank you. be a glad reunion day.
Turn to hymn number 329. Number 329. Let's all stand as we sing.
Come now to our time of the Lord's Supper. And we want to make this, of course, a time when we come before the Lord individually as well as a congregation to remember what Jesus did for us on the cross. And hopefully it will be a time of remembrance and also a time of rededication of our lives to the Lord as each week or each month we come before Him for the Lord's Supper. So I'm going to ask you, please, if you'll just take a few moments of silence to prepare your heart as we come before the Lord, and I'll be quiet while we pray and speak to the Lord. The Bible says, let every man examine himself, and then let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. So let's examine our hearts before God and do whatever business we need to do with Him, and then we'll come and take part in the Lord's Supper. You'll notice a little bit of change here also. We have scripture reading, then the serving of the bread, then scripture reading, and then the sermon. because I want to talk about the blood of Christ specifically in the message this morning, and I want to do it right before we actually take the fruit of the vine. So let's spend some time in prayer together, please. Lord, how good it is in a noisy world for us to be quiet, to come into your presence, to know that you are God. There is none other. So we come this morning, Lord, as we prepare our hearts for this time around the table with you and with our brothers and sisters. We pray, God, that this would be a time of remembrance, certainly remembering what Jesus did for us. And then, Lord, a time of repentance where we need to turn from our sin, whatever it may be, and renewal, rededication. We thank you for this time, Lord, that you have commanded your church to do as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup. So, Lord God, we come this morning with thankfulness that we have been invited to Jesus' table and pray your blessing now in this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Deacons, would you come, please, and prepare the table?
Scripture that I want to read this morning before we give the bread for us to eat together is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 16 and 17, where Paul says, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread." So individually we partake of the bread in our individual faith in Jesus Christ, do we not? That's an individual thing that we have to do. We can't do it for each other. We don't do it as a family. We do it individually. Personal faith in Christ, who is the bread of life. But then we also come together, Paul says here, as the body of Christ. We're all members of this one body. We've been baptized into the body through the Spirit of God when we're saved. Therefore, we are told that we're one bread, we're one loaf. We're not many loaves, we're one loaf. And as that one loaf, then, of course, we have a relationship with each other that is eternal. And so those of us who are here this morning, sitting in this congregation or standing, you look around, you're going to be in heaven with these people forever. Now, that ought to make you happy. Are you all happy? All right. We're one bread, one body in Jesus Christ. And so we come together individually before the Lord, but also as a corporate body of believers. And so we'll partake of the bread first and give thanks to the Lord, and then we'll take the cup. David, would you give thanks for the bread, please?
Our dear Father, we come before you today, Lord, truly in remembrance of that which you did in giving your Son, Jesus Christ, to come to the, go on the cross, Lord, that his body might be broken. Lord, as we partake of this bread, we pray that it might be blessed to
to the remembrance of that you did. And we just praise you and we love you. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Represents the body of Christ. Not a bone was broken, remember the story. But yet his body was broken in the sense that he suffered so much and was humiliated and beaten. And we come this morning to remember that suffering of Jesus, not for his own sin, of course, but for ours. Aren't you grateful?
Amen.
Let's eat together with thanksgiving. We prepare ourselves for the cup this morning. I want you to give thought
to the topic, the subject of the blood of Christ, the sacrifice of Christ. The writer of Hebrews states this in chapter 9 and verse 22. He says, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission, no forgiveness." So the shedding of blood was so important. Jesus himself said in Luke chapter 22, he took the cup and he said, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." So it is the shed blood of Christ. It is the shed blood of the animal in the Old Testament that God accepted as the atonement for sin. And as the writer says, without that shedding of blood, there is no remission. But even before Jesus made those comments, and even before the Last Supper, all the way back in the Old Testament, Matter of fact, in Genesis chapter 3, we have the first shedding of blood by an innocent animal for guilty people. Listen to these words in Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. You're familiar with this. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. Think about that. Where did those coats of skins come from? Now, God could have created those out of nothing, couldn't he? I mean, Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth out of nothing. But here we're told that God made these clothing, this clothing for Adam and Eve from the skins of an animal. And so there was sacrifice that took place. This is the first sacrifice in the Bible where God made for Adam and Eve what they needed to be accepted before him. They had already made their own clothes out of fig leaves. You remember the story? And yet God said, those fig leaves and the work that you did to make those clothes are not satisfying to me. They don't take the place. And so there was a sacrifice of an innocent animal for Adam and Eve so that they could be covered. That is in the very beginning. And when you think about it, it goes all that concept goes all the way through the Old Testament to the cross, does it not? God sacrificing that animal for Adam and Eve, who were sinners, who had disobeyed God and broken his commandments, all the way from that to Calvary's Hill, where God sacrifices the Lamb of God for you and for me, because we need forgiveness. And that's what we're remembering this morning. There was a second sacrifice that took place in the Old Testament. We find it in Genesis chapter 4. And in Genesis chapter 4, the Bible says, beginning in verse 3, in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought forth of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstling of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had no respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. This is the second offering. It's the offering of Abel. Abel took of the firstling of his flock and sacrificed it to the Lord. And God was pleased with that sacrifice. Cain, on the other hand, sacrificed from the fruit of the ground, and God was not satisfied. Which raises the question, a couple of questions. Number one is, how would these boys know what pleased God? We don't have any record here that God gave any information, except that we can begin to think about the fact that Adam and Eve certainly experienced a blood sacrifice on their behalf, did they not? So that they could be clothed. So it's possible that Adam and Eve, in the discussion around the supper table and in living life generally, that they talked about this experience in the garden, how that they'd failed and sinned against God. And then God sacrificed this animal to clothe them to take the place of what they tried to do for themselves. I mean, that's not unreasonable to think that. And so both of these boys would have heard about this sacrifice, this blood sacrifice that God did for them. It was Abel, though, who understood that principle and that precept, and therefore he sacrificed that animal before God, and it was pleasing to God. The writer of Hebrews says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained the witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. So here's a man who had faith, and he exercised that faith by offering a sacrifice, a blood sacrifice, which pleased God. On the other hand, we have Cain, who was evidently rebellious. And though he heard the same thing from his mom and dad, he decided that he would give from his own produce of his land, which was not a blood sacrifice and therefore not satisfying to God. Unfortunately, what Cain did, of course, is he murdered his brother, didn't he? We see in same chapter, verse 10, where God says to Cain, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the earth. So instead of sacrificing an animal to God as pleasing to God, he sacrificed his brother, which was not pleasing to God because he put his blood in the earth. So we can see the unrighteousness of this man Cain. We're talking about the blood of Jesus this morning. And all the way back here in the book of Genesis, we have a blood sacrifice in the very beginning. And then all through the Old Testament, we see how that was the requirement of God. In order for God to forgive, he required a blood sacrifice. In Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11, the scripture says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it unto you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul." God said, it is in the blood where there is life. And in order for me to be satisfied, you must sacrifice the blood to pay the price on the altar so that the beast that is sacrificed becomes the substitute, the blood that is shed, for the sin of the person. It's interesting, and I found out for years and years, the world did not understand the importance of blood. And in 1670, a scientist named William Harvey, discovered that life is maintained by the blood. And ever since that discovery in 1670 by this scientist, we have studied more and more of the blood and how important it is and what all is contained in that blood to keep life. It's amazing. God understood that in the very beginning. And God said, the life of the flesh is in the blood, and you will use the blood as a sacrifice so that I will be satisfied and I can then forgive. It has to do with substitution. You have an innocent animal whose life is shed, whose blood is shed for the guilty person. And that was the way that God established the sacrificial system for Israel. God was satisfied when those animals were sacrificed and the blood was then presented to him and applied. And that's the same thing it is true for us today, is not? The blood has been supplied. Jesus Christ has already died on the cross, and the Roman soldier put the spear in his side, and the Bible says out flowed blood and water. And so that sacrificial act of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross satisfies God and his righteousness. Nothing else does. But it must be applied. Just like in Exodus chapter 12, we have the story of the Passover, where God told Moses to have the people slay that yearling lamb and take the blood, you remember, and strike it on the two posts, side posts, and on the upper door of the entrance to the house. And that was the way that they could be passed over so that the firstborn would not die. If they had slain the lamb and caught the blood in a basin and sat it outside the door of the house and said, there's the blood, would the Passover have occurred in their life? No. It had to be what? Applied. You know, there are many thousands of people in our country and in our land and perhaps around the world who know the story about the death of Jesus. And many will go through certain religious acts in the next couple of weeks, and they will celebrate and they will commemorate on Good Friday and Holy Week and Thursday night. They'll go through all the traditions and all the biblical themes about the fact that Jesus died on the cross. And they will know and understand it was the blood of Jesus that was shed upon the cross, but they will not make application of that blood to their own life. It'll all be in their head. It has to be applied, doesn't it? And us, those of us here this morning, perhaps all of us here this morning, who've heard the gospel and about the sacrifice of Christ, we not only heard it, we responded to it. We have applied the blood to our lives. We've called upon the Lord Jesus Christ to save us and forgive us. And we've been saved and cleansed by the blood of Christ. It is his blood. All of the animals of the Old Testament down through the history and that scarlet thread that was from Genesis to Revelation spoke of the coming day when there would be the Lamb of God who would die on the cross and take away the sins of the world. And so we drink this juice, this fruit of the vine this morning, going all the way back to when God said it is the blood that is the cleansing agent. It is the blood that allows me to justify and forgive. It is the blood sacrificed and the blood applied that makes the difference. Now, we don't drink blood. It's against the scriptures that God forbid his people to drink blood. We drink the fruit of the vine, which represents that blood, don't we? And remember then that it was the shed blood of Christ. And in a sense, what we're doing is when we take that little cup and we drink, we are applying it. We are appropriating it to ourselves. We're indicating, we're showing, God, we've accepted the blood of Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. And we are now in a symbolical way taking the bread, which is the body of Christ. We're taking that into us. And now we're taking the juice to represent the fact that we are in Christ and he is in us. There's nothing magic about it, but it certainly is a testimony that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. It's not only his blood applied when we're first saved, it is his blood applied throughout our Christian life that he forgives us. John was writing to the Christians in the New Testament, and he said to them, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. I don't think there's anybody here this morning that hasn't sinned this week or even this day. Have you loved God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself? Jesus said, this is the great commandment. We fail. And praise God that we have the blood of Christ, which not only saves us initially, but continues to cleanse us through our Christian life when we need cleansing. And we need it every day. Amen. So as we come here this morning, let's be grateful that this which we drink today represents that blood which was shed for us on the cross so that we could be saved. And it also represents that blood for us which cleanses us every day from our sin. Isn't that a wonderful thing that God forgives us over and over and over? Let's give him thanks for that as we participate together.
Thank you.
juice that represents the blood of Christ shed on the cross for us. Bruce, would you please do that?
We thank you, Father, for your word, for it's from it that we learn that we get forgiveness of sin through the shedding of blood. And Lord, we are grateful this morning that the Lord Jesus Christ gave his blood for our forgiveness of sin. And Lord, we do thank you for it, and we ask you to bless it.
Yes. If you've taken the cup, he said, this cup is a new testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission, the forgiveness of sins, past, present, future. Let's drink together.
All right, let's take our handles. Turn to number five. Number five. Anybody here today that needs to repent of sin in their life, to rededicate themselves, Lord, to be serious to follow you, God, would you speak to that heart and bring them, God, to that decision? We don't even need to know about it, Lord. It's between them and you, but we pray that they would make that decision and that we would see the evidence of that fruit in their life, in all of our lives. Bless us now as we depart this place. Bring glory to yourself through our lives throughout this day. Bring us again together, we pray, in Jesus' name, for his sake.